God is closer than you think. Concepts that we're going to look at the next 6 weeks, same page focus, are based on the book, God is Closer Than You Think. The studies are based on that material. And I encourage you to purchase the book today. If you're here on Sundays and reading the book and in a small group, I just really think there's some helpful things that this author, that God has used to share some things with us that will help us in our spiritual life and in our daily relationship, and recognizing in our relationship with God, recognizing God's presence in our lives every day. So those books will be available at the back. Don will be there, and right over here by the door for $10. As I mentioned a moment ago, our Eaglemont Church mission statement that succinctly expresses the simple process for discipleship, really, in our church is knowing God, loving people, serving the world. We are committed in simplicity to those things. It's what we will increasingly be about. And I hope that those things will, you know, bleed out in everything that we do. And as we focus on them individually and collectively as a church, we will see growth, I believe, in our life, in our experience, in our impact for Christ as individuals and as a church body. The next 6 weeks, as I said, the teaching and the small group interaction will bolster our understanding of the first phrase of that mission statement, knowing God. And that's where we're parking, really, for like I said, the next 6 weeks. Where are you at in terms of wanting to know God? Where are you at in terms of wanting an intimate relationship with God? In all of that, have you thought much about this question, about God's heart for you? That you are on God's screensaver. In all of that discussion about me being close to God, that's good discussion to have, and the ways that I can cultivate that and foster my relationship with Christ, that's important, that's good. We need to go there. We need to work on those things. But the reason I want to pursue God is because He loves me so much. Because He knows my name. Because He sees every tear that falls. He feels every hurt. I'm on God's screensaver. How convinced are you that God wants to share in your life and be an active participant in your everyday, in your living? Doesn't matter your path to this point, and you can roll the video here. Doesn't matter your path to this point, but today, can you put a brand new lens on or refocus on the old one?
So I think I finally found the end of my rope.
A little more volume.
Today finally broke me. The coffee, the pills, the uplifting quote calendar. Today it wasn't enough. As I sat in my office, I realized that I can't remember the last time I actually stopped and considered the reality of who God is, or that something larger than me even exists. My prayers consist of requests for green lights and front row parking. Who am I trying to kid? These aren't really prayers at all. They're just mind games that I play to keep myself convinced I actually believe in something. Somewhere along the line, I traded my belief in a living God for a good luck charm. But today I needed more. I was completely blown away at the thought that God might actually exist. That there's a real being that created me with love and purpose. That God is more than a destination for my mindless prayers. Not really sure how long I sat there before I came to. But when I did, I felt an immediate instinct to escape. I had to leave my world of central heating and pre-recorded reality TV. Bluetooth, Blackberries, and non-fab lattes. I had to find something real. I couldn't help but think that this lifestyle, this world had got me. That slowly the life I lead had consumed me and left me lifeless and numb. I needed to escape. I needed to find this God that I knew existed. That's how I ended up here. This is where I've come to start again. This is where I've come to meet God. The real, living, eternal God. This is where I will begin.
This is where I've come to start again. This is where I've come to meet God, the real, living, eternal God. This is where I will begin. Have you ever said something like that? For some of you, it's maybe time to begin again, to believe that God created you to love you and to walk in relationship with you, to lead you in His daily purpose for your life of being His representative in the world, of caring for you along the way. There's just so much in the Bible that reminds us of how much we really matter to God, framed in the message title, You're on God's Screensaver. Two scripture verses I want you to take with you today. They're probably very familiar to most of you here, but I want, in a new way, if you could open up your heart to the Spirit of God and say, God, help them to settle here. Help me to take them with me today. Psalm 32:8, one verse from the Old Testament, and one verse from the New. Psalm 32:8. You can open to it. You might want to underline it. It's a great little verse where God just says, put your name there. Put your name in the margin. Marlo, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And then John 3:16. Don't miss it because of its familiarity for many of you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And everlasting life begins the moment I step across the line of faith and express confidence in Christ and in the cross. And the daily relationship begins. On my Mac at home, my iMac, is this picture on our desktop background. And then the screensaver, after a few minutes, kicks in, and it's a mosaic effect with more family pictures from our summer holiday. In your small group session this week, you will hear John Ortberg talk about a time when he was on an airplane and a man beside him had a picture of his son on his laptop background. And it was very evident that this little boy meant a great deal to the father. He desperately wanted to get home from the business trip to be with his son. After all, he'd been away from home for a whole 24 hours. Now, if you have one or two or three children, you can put them on your desktop background, but God has a lot of children, and so He has to use the screensaver option. That's where, you know, the title came from, I guess, but God can do some pretty neat things, I think, with the screensaver. I think he's a Mac user, too, but... Oh, I just lost some of you. I'm sorry. And I promise you, I have this picture on my background because of the children, not because of the car, as nice as it is, just to make that clear. But pause on that thought. That your picture, as it were, is on God's screensaver. That's an image. That's just a simple way of expressing this idea that God's great desire for you caused Him to send His Son to the cross. Are you open to that? How does that idea make you feel, that God loves you that much? Knowing that God wants to walk with you through life. Where are you at with that idea? Well, I want to draw a couple of scenarios here real quick. I don't know where you are on these three scenarios, but let's say you're here. You may not be able to see this too well. I'm not going to take time. We're rushed for time. And God's here. And Every time God, by His Spirit, moves your direction, what do? The other way. It's like the negative side of a magnet when the positive comes close, and it's like, sorry, pumpkin. Is that you? Backpedaling, arm's length, be careful, maybe. Or are you here? I was going to draw a drum and then draw a mark, but I won't do that because that's inappropriate. I didn't ask His permission. And God's here, and you move this way, God moves this way, and you are intrigued by that. Maybe you're in seeking mode spiritually, and you're not sure, but you're open. I encourage you. I commend you for your courage, even for being here, if that's you. That's part of the process, I believe, of finding God's truth in relationship with you. Or maybe, let's do this one this way. Maybe that's you, and God's here, right in the center of your life. Oh, sometimes we shift a little and we get off course and we all have those moments or those seasons. But our deep desire is to have God at the core of our life. I just want you to keep those images in mind and how you respond to this idea that you're on God's screensaver. Does that make you go the other way or say, I want to embrace a God like that? Or, I know He's in my heart and I want Him to lead my life? Well, just a question. And wherever you are in reference to God, are you willing to say, this is where I will begin to be more open to the possibilities of living in relationship with God and in a more keen awareness of His presence? Wherever you are in reference to God, I want to remind you of three very simple but life-changing truths from the Bible this morning about how God views you. And you know what? For some of you, this is going to be, well, I pray that this is a blessing to someone else. And yet, I think wherever we are, these are great reminders. But there's a segment, I believe, among us who probably just really, because of experiences, because of background, because of church experiences or perceptions of God that are wrong, that there's just some among us that just really need these very simple truths. And so, Christian friend, if it's not so much for you, be praying, would you, for me and for those individuals to whom this really needs to settle in their heart? I get a little window of what God is like and how much we matter to Him. When I watch some of the dads around here taking delight in their children or their grandchildren, when I see Russell Messer, mess around with Lucas, I love watching that. Or see little Carter up there on Dave Child's shoulders, or Kevin Solbach holding little Trevor with such admiration, or Jake gets Ryder and Rush, doing lat pull downs or whatever. It's cool to watch. Or Hans, when you sometimes walk your little grandson Jack around, just proudly. It's a little window of how God views us. Magnify that by, I don't know, you choose the number. It's God. It's God's view of you. Not that we don't have imperfections that need to be worked on by the Word of God and God's Spirit, but that His loving concern for you is, you can almost touch it. We must believe that He really cares about us if we're going to experience His presence in our lives. First of all, God knows me inside and out. First simple truth. And we'll need to talk real fast here. Let's go right to Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah 1:5. Another great verse in the Old Testament that you should underline. One of the prophets. And God says to him, I knew you before... Listen to this. This is amazing. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. God had already set His purpose for His life in motion before He was born. In other words, He had a purpose as soon as He entered the world. And now, in this passage, it's about Jeremiah's call to be a prophet or a spokesman for God, as you know, most of you. But listen to the words that also apply to every one of us here this morning. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. That's got to say something about how much you're worth to God, our Creator. These are similar words that Janelle Small shared, and the Ukraine mission team shared a couple of weeks ago, and she spoke from Psalm 139, verse 15 and 16, and you can kind of cross-reference those two verses. On the DVD that you'll watch this week in your small group, you'll hear the question, what if God were closer than you think? Please don't gloss over that question quickly. Because from passages like Psalm 139 and Jeremiah 1, it sounds like God is not only close, but that He also cares a lot. He cares who I am. He cares who I become. He cares what I spend my time and money on. He cares enough to feel my pain. He cares to carry me through. He cares to share in the joys that are part of my life. You see, someone who is close but doesn't care is just an irritant, right? That's not God. He may prod, he may even challenge, but when you know someone genuinely loves you and has your best interests in mind, the challenge given, isn't that much easier to receive? And when someone knows you inside and out and knows the end from the beginning, isn't the wisest thing just to say, well, your direction sounds good to me? And how can we talk about the idea of God knowing us inside and out without referring to Jesus' words in Matthew 10:30 about the hair on your head being numbered by God? He's got to care a lot to care about that. And I made a commitment as I was preparing this message that I would not employ the overused preacher's joke about how that's getting a lot easier for some of you. So I thought I'd show you. Anyway, I'm heading that direction. God cares. That verse is in the Bible. The hairs on your head are numbered. You could have picked anything, I guess. That's pretty amazing. God cares that much. Secondly, God's love for me, rather, is unmerited. It's the second simple truth I want to share with you this morning, which means that we've done nothing to deserve it. We can do nothing to earn more of it, His love. And there is nothing I can do that will make God, listen to this, there's nothing I can do that will make God love me any more than He already does. There is nothing I can do that will cause Him to love me any less. If you function in your spiritual life in performance mode let's go back a little further. If you functioned in that performance mode always to please a parent that you felt you never quite measured up for, that was your growing up, it's easy to bring that into your relationship with God. Don't. It absolutely does not apply. Now, because God loves us so much and wants the best for us, that there are minefields spiritually that He wants us to steer clear of, and other things that He wants us to dive into for our spiritual growth and well-being, of course, but none of those things change positively or negatively God's love for me. His love is unmerited. So my friend, would you receive it today? Open your heart to it today. Listen to Isaiah 64:6. It says, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. That's a very interesting verse, isn't it? Isaiah, Old Testament prophet, next door neighbor to Jeremiah, Isaiah 64:6. All our righteousness is like filthy rags. Well, that's rude. Not really. No. Righteousness, good deeds as filthy rags, well, not because doing good deeds is a bad thing. But when we do them to somehow get God's attention so that He'll think better of us or love us more or accept us into heaven, then in God's eyes, those deeds are like filthy rags because they amount to nothing, because everything that needed to be done for me to know Christ and live eternally with Him in heaven has already been done by Christ on the cross. So it's almost like a little bit of a slap in the face, isn't it, to what God has offered when we try to do it ourselves. Good deeds are good to do. Read James, right? But get in the cart before the horse. We need to skip ahead. Number three, God's love for me is constant and complete. If Willie Nelson became a Christian, he'd have to change the lyrics to some of his songs, or one of his songs. Always on His mind, I'm always on His mind. I'm sorry for that. From the bottom of my heart, I apologize for that. I wasn't going to do it, it just came out. My desire for God and for closeness with Him, you know what? That may come and go with situations in life. You know it. That feeling, that sense, that closeness. I don't feel God close. That may come and go. That doesn't change the reality of God's position with us and in us, does it? Remember that. My desire for God may come and go, but God's desire for me is constant. We're always on His mind. You're going to go home singing that. I know you are. We may think God has turned His back or walked away because life got hard. It was that way for the people in the Old Testament, and sometimes they expressed it in Isaiah 49, verses 14 to 16. Jeremiah or Jerusalem says, the people of Israel said this. They said, "The Lord has deserted us." You ever said that? "The Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us." God speaks and says, "Never." Verse 15, Isaiah 49, underline it, never. And then He says, "Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born?" And the assumed answer is a resounding no. And then God says, well, even if that were possible, if that did happen, then He says, "I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands." And you don't want to forget a phone number? At least when my daughter doesn't want to forget a phone number. Well, now she got her phone. When she was younger, just name, number there. Or whatever. Written on the palm. God cared. There. Always before Him. He's not only on your screensaver, He's on your palm. That was lame. Psalm 6:4, we won't take time to look at them. Read them, ponder them. Would you prayerfully ponder these verses this week? If this is where you're at and you need this reminder from God's Word, take these verses that I'm giving you. If you want me to email you this little presentation so you have all the... I do that. Let me know. Prayerfully ponder. Spend time reflecting, chewing on, meditating on Psalm 6:4 and Psalm 13:5. Skip ahead to slide 14, Jesse, for time's sake. And I close with this story. And then we're going to have opportunity for prayer as well today. In his book, Disappointment with God, by Philip Yancey. How many of you have read that book? Just curious. No? It's an older book now, but Yancey relates a touching story from his own life. He says, one time on a visit, talks about a time when he was visiting his mother who had been widowed many, many years before in the month of Philip's first birthday. Her husband, Philip's father, had passed away. And they were mom and son, adult son now. They were spending the afternoon together looking through a box of old pictures, and a certain picture of him as an eight-month-old baby caught his eye. It was tattered and it was bent and it looked too banged up to be worth keeping, so he asked her why she still had it. I mean, there's a lot of other pictures that are good. What's the story? Well, in that book, that if you have ever been disappointed with God, you need to read that book. Yancey writes this: "My mother explained to me that she had kept the photo as a memento because during my father's illness, it had been fastened to his iron lung. During the last 4 months of his life, Yancey's father lay on his back, completely paralyzed by polio, at the age of 24, encased from the neck down in a huge cylindrical breathing unit. And with his two young sons back in the day, you know, banned from the hospital because of the severity of his illness, he'd asked his wife for a picture of her and the two boys. Because he was unable to move even his head, the photos had to be jammed between some metal knobs so that they hung within view above him, the only thing he could see. The last 4 months of his life were spent looking at the faces of those he loved. And Yancey continues and rewrites this. He says, I've often thought of that crumpled photo, for it's one of the few links connecting me to the stranger who is my father, someone I have no memory of and no sensory knowledge of, spent all day, every day, thinking of me, devoting himself to me, loving me. He says, the emotions I felt when my mother showed me the crumpled photo were the very same emotions I felt that February night in a college dorm room when I first believed in a God of love. Someone is there, I realized. Someone is there who loves me. It was a startling feeling of wild hope, a feeling so new and overwhelming that it seemed fully worth risking my life on. And so it is. It is. Are you willing to make this day a day of new beginnings? Wherever you're at on the spectrum. Are you willing to make it a day to launch that kind of life? A new realization that God knows you fully and loves you completely. This could be your tent experience, like on the video. This is where I've come to begin. Or this is where I've come to begin again. You stand to your feet this morning. We sometimes give opportunity for people to come and receive prayer for needs in their life. It's a good thing to do. We're going to do that this morning as well as we close. But our greatest need, any one of us, the greatest need or needs that we have are spiritual in nature, really. Those are the greatest needs. And so if you're making this day a day of new beginnings with God, maybe a day of admitting for the first time that it's my sin that has kept me from relationship with God, or maybe a day of responding to His love and receiving His forgiveness, or a day of committing to live in a keen awareness of His presence. And as a Christian, you just want to know His presence more and His direction and leadership in your life more. Whatever that new beginning is, as big a deal you may think it is, or as little as you and insignificant as you may think it is. I thought it would be so good if we just together, because I'm up front already, but I need to be here and say, God, I want this to be my tent experience today of a new beginning with you. To not depend on myself so much sometimes, but to really trust you in every situation, whatever it is for you. I'm going to ask Jackie just to come and play quietly on the keyboard, and then after those who come, I want you to stand. I want you to face the front. You're just saying, you know what? I'm making this public, God. I want this enough to just go public with it this morning in my church family. And others that hang back will, I believe, pray for you. And I want to close in prayer for you today. So if that's your desire, you just come. Without any music even, or as she plays, just come and find your way across the front. Give you 30 seconds to respond. If God's leading you, and then I want to pray for you today. friends, God knows your situation and your heart. He sees it and he's responding even now before you step forward. Before you step forward, God is responding to your expression of desire to make this a day of some type of new beginning with God, a new beginning of trust, a new beginning of faith, a new beginning of receiving his peace, a new beginning of being open and really believing that he loves you unconditionally and completely. God knows. God knows what's in your heart right now. I want you in this moment to express that to God in your own words, in this moment. Take time to do that right now and express that to God. Tell him that's what you want. That's why you're here. Commit it to him in your own words right now. Thank you, Jesus. God, I trust you. Lord God, I trust you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for each one of these individuals who are courageous enough to just be honest with you and with one another here this morning. And as we as a church body surround them with prayer, we believe that your work is going to be accomplished in new and greater ways in the days ahead. And whatever the expression of their heart is in this moment, God, you see it already. And you want to respond more than they want to express it. Help them to understand that and to walk with that open heart and to walk daily into this week and beyond with this desire being a part of shaping their spiritual vibrancy, their spiritual life. God, work in each situation, in each heart, in each mind, in each family, in each individual as you desire. We give you thanks. If you've not committed your life to Christ, friend, pray this prayer. It's not the words, but it's the expression of your heart. God, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for coming to the cross and taking upon yourself my sin. I give you my life today. I open my heart to you. Begin to lead me. Forgive me of my sin and lead my life. I want to follow you. I want to be a Christ follower. Help me to grow in this relationship, I pray. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer in your heart as I prayed it, you tell somebody today. Come and tell me. We want to help you in any way we can. I want to take just another moment. I think there's situations in your family, in your life, in your spiritual life, or relationships, or finances. And I want to give you an opportunity to come forward. We're just going to close in prayer. I just feel I want to do that today. If there's a need, you need help, you need God's intervention, wisdom, direction, healing in your body, I want you to step forward and just form, join these others that have come here this morning. And I want to close in prayer for you as well. And the others, you can remain and seek God. Anybody? Any need, God cares about it. We've talked about his love and how much he loves us. Let's respond. Don't be shy. The family of God surrounding you wants to pray for you. And I'm going to ask council leaders and prayer partners, others that just want to pray, lay their hands on the shoulders of those who have come. Would you come and stand behind those that have come? God knows the situation. God knows the need. And we can trust him for his will to be done. Thank you, Lord. There's some that need prayer here. Can some of you, fellow believers in Christ, come and just lay your hands on people that have come for prayer here? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's join together. Father, you know each situation, Lord. God, you see the end from the beginning. You see the purpose for the valley, even though we don't. And so I pray that your peace would be given to each heart and life. In the name of Jesus. God, we know that you're the same as when you walked this earth. And you touched people. You healed bodies. You restored relationships. You did amazing things. And we know you're at work in this world today. And you're at work in our lives. And your word says that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we just look to you as that same great physician and ask for your touch, healing touch. In the name of Jesus, Lord, if it's a relationship need, that you would give wisdom, bring healness, bring wholeness and healing to that relationship, God. Whatever the situation, you're able to work a miracle, oh God. May hearts be surrendered and yielded to you in those marriages that need your divine intervention. We pray protection upon families, relationships, and homes in our church here, God, and beyond. Oh, Lord, there's wisdom that's needed, decisions at work. God, have your way. Minister, I pray. May faith arise in people's hearts to trust you for the answers and for the peace of heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Lord, go with us today. May we walk after you and know that you love us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Those that have come for prayer, if you want to stay and pray, you're welcome to do that. God bless you.